LA bound thrill seekers, it's Chelsea Handler, your fearless guide to the City of Angels. Brace yourselves for a wild ride exploring the diverse food scene, from taco trucks to Michelin stars like Pizzana or Leo's Tacos. Seeking serenity? Immerse yourself in soul-soothing moments with captivating sunsets at Griffith Observatory, rooftop yoga, and a stroll through the Getty Gardens. Your soul will thank you for this enchanting escape. Buckle up for the LA roller coaster and embark on the adventure at discoverla.com. Chelsea Handler signing off, urging you to savor every moment.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Hi, everyone. Chelsea here. We should be talking much more about women's hair loss. There are many reasons that hair loss can happen in women, from a number of medical conditions like anemia all the way to transitions like pregnancy or menopause. And that's where Zion Health comes in. They are hair loss experts who make getting treatment easy and accessible with both medicated and non-medicated options available. Go to xyonhealth.com to get started.
Looking for hair removal tools that not only deliver smooth results, but also empower you with a sense of complete control? Enter Conair Girl Bomb, your secret weapons for smooth, sleek results, made just for women. From the ultimate Girl Bomb grip and professional-grade blades, you don't have to compromise and settle for less. Conair Girl Bomb equips you with the precision and power previously reserved for men's grooming tools. So take your hair removal routine to the next level with Conair Girl Bomb. Available at ConairGirlBomb.com or a retailer near you.
Good sleep should come naturally, and with the new Natural Hybrid mattress, it can. A collaboration between Lisa and West Elm, the Natural Hybrid is expertly crafted from natural latex, natural wool, and certified safe foams to elevate your sleep sanctuary and support a greener tomorrow. Plus, every purchase helps fuel Lisa's work with shelters and those in need. Visit lisa.com/Chelsea to learn more. That's LEESA.com/Chelsea.
Okay, Joe, are we rolling?
We are rolling.
Fantastic.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Chelsea Handler.
Thank you, Joe.
Check one, check two.
Hi, Chelsea.
Stop it.
And here's your...
He is so hard up to be, like,
here's
like
your,
he thinks he's the producer.
Script.
I got it. Thank you. Got
have,
it.
Have fun. Enjoy, you guys. I'll be right over here.
Okay, thanks.
Hi, guys.
Hi. I, like, want to call him your pal Friday since he helped with setup today.
I know. He is. He's my little, my girl Friday, honey.
Good afternoon, good morning, and good evening. This is Chelsea Handler on the podcast called Dear Chelsea, and I'm here with my producer, Catherine.
Hi, hello. Catherine.
Hi. How are you?
Hi, I think after however many episodes of this podcast, I finally got an intro down that sounds respectable. It doesn't sound like me, but it sounds respectable. I just want to start by saying that I am very weak today. I had food poisoning or a 24-hour virus.
Oh my God.
I'm not sure because my friend texted me this morning saying she also has diarrhea now. But we went to Après, Joe and I, with some friends the other day, and then we came home, we got massages, I went to bed, and around 5 in the morning, all hell broke loose.
Oh, God.
I was vomiting, and I had diarrhea, and it was brutal. And of course, Joe was so ridiculously sweet that I just was like, oh, my God, because I was like, who can I text for Diet Canada's dry ginger ale? That's all I wanted, you know, when you're that...
Yeah.
All I cared about was ginger ale, and I've been trying not to drink soda because I have this big photo shoot coming up or commercial shoot.
But sometimes you just got to, like, have the thing that, like, your mom gave you when you were sick. For us, it was Sprite and orange juice.
Sprite and orange juice together?
Yeah, together. That was the thing. Oh. It's like whenever I get that kind of sick, I'm like, I need Sprite and orange juice. Although these days it's LaCroix and orange juice.
Yeah, yeah. That's how I am with ginger ale. And it can't be regular ginger ale because the sugar leaves this weird taste in my mouth. It has to be Diet Canada Dry, which, by the way, is my elixir for everything. And if I feel off, if I feel tired, Diet Canada Dry is, okay. I once called them and I was like, I need to do a commercial for you guys because I'm so passionate about your product.
And did you?
And I ended up doing a Diet 7-Up commercial because they're owned by the same people. And they're like, we don't need a commercial for Diet Canada Dry, but we'll pay you to do one for Diet 7-Up. And I was like, okay, let's go. But truth be told, I prefer Canada Dry over 7-Up. Oh, so you heard goodness. It here first.
It's a cure-all.
Yeah. So I was laid out yesterday and I was just like, it felt like every organ of my body was being attacked. My kidneys, my back. I was just like, oh, this is so annoying. And then I took what I thought was a Zofran,
mm-hmm.
which is an anti-nausea drug.
I'm going to say, I have no idea what that
that I travel with in case I get sick.
Yeah.
And I was like, Joe, please get me the Zofran. It's in the cabinet. And he went and got it. But I had mixed my Zofran with this thing called New Vigil, which is basically a drug for narcoleptics. It's for combating jet lag when you travel overseas. And like, it's this like high level prescription, but it's basically like a very sophisticated Adderall.
I was gonna say, you gave yourself uppers while you're trying to like rest.
So I fucking woke my ass up to be sick and nauseous for the next 6 hours. And luckily I threw that up too right away.
Oh,
and then once I took the Zofran, I was able to stop throwing up. It's kind of what they give you on safari in case you get, you know, mm-hmm. really sick or something. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I had all the medical tools. I don't know who's been mixing my medication, but it sounds like her name is Mabel. So when I get home the next week, I'm going to have a nice sit down with Mabel. I'm sure she has a lot to tell me about as well. Oh, I requested that Joe bring Bert and Bernice back, and she said no.
She put the kibosh on it?
He left for 3 days to go into the States and come back here to Whistler. And I said, okay, bring the dogs back. And then he said, Mabel said no.
Oh my, she didn't let him?
No, I've lost complete control of my own domestic situation.
Oh my goodness. Well, I don't know if this will help at all, but if you want, I can let you meet my daughter, who is here with me in the studio right now, Brad. Oh,
that will help.
I think it will. Right now she's actually, there's like a giant beanbag chair here at the office, and she makes Brad bring it down into the like studio so she can sit in it, even though it's like a giant, giant one.
This is
Mimsy.
She's her name?
Mimsy. She is a brindle pug.
Oh, she's a nugget. How old is she?
She's six. She just turned six.
Oh, she looks like a bitch. I like that.
She is very bratty. She like does whatever she wants.
See, she's already done. That's exactly like Bernice. I pick her up and then she's like, no, I was never interested in being picked up in the first place. Please leave me alone.
That is Mimsy. Yeah, she will not listen to anything my husband says. Like, she won't obey him until I look at her and I go in a serious voice. I have to go, Mimsy, obey. And then she'll do whatever he asks, like putting on her harness or whatever. Yeah. So that's my daughter. Now you've
met
her.
That's cute. Mimsy's cute. Oh, do we have a podcast merch available now?
We will very soon.
Oh, Dear Chelsea merch is going to be available very soon, everybody.
Yes. And it's cute and it's going to be comfy. I made sure that we got like comfy shirts, comfy stuff. So
cute. Yeah. Okay, great. It's I love coming. That for all our female and gay listeners.
Yes, exactly.
Although I got a couple of DMs from a couple of straight guys that want to be very pointed about the fact that they listen to the podcast and are straight. I'm like, what do you want, a fucking medal?
Yes, they do. Yes, they do.
Yeah, exactly.
Several, in fact.
Okay, so yeah, let's move on to today's guest. She has a new book. It's called Managing Expectations. It is available now for pre-order. It comes out in May. And she has her own podcast that I've done, called Mini Questions, which she asked the same 7 questions to all her guests, and season 2 just premiered. So make sure you check that out. Please welcome a very good friend of mine, Minnie Driver. Hi, honey. How are you?
I'm all right, darling. How are you? Happy newish year.
Where are you?
I'm in Malibu.
Oh, okay.
Where are you?
I'm in Whistler, Canada.
The Sea to Sky Highway. I love that highway.
Oh, I know you know that from your truck driving days.
I do. Honk, honk.
A lot of people don't know that about Minnie Driver, but I do, and that's all that really matters. And that's what this podcast is all about, unveiling who was a truck driver and who wasn't. Minnie, congratulations on your engagement.
Oh, thanks, darling. Yeah, thanks.
Thank you. Very casual reaction.
I'm not engaged. My boyfriend will literally die if he... I'm not engaged. It was... It,
What?
You're not supposed to say engaged, or are you not engaged?
No, I'm not engaged. Really? I'm not engaged. However, only because my boyfriend, he doesn't really want to get married because, as he said, I love you, so why would I want to be in a throuple with the state of California?
Uh-huh.
And I totally get that. So we're not engaged. We're just, I wore a diamond ring that I'd actually bought myself on my ring finger because I show up for myself every day. Oh, and if really I'm married to anyone, something. It's me.
There we go. There we go. I told Joe Coy, my boyfriend, that if he ever buys me a big fucking diamond ring, don't expect me to wear it. I told him we could be engaged and you can plan the wedding because I don't really care about that those kinds of things at all. And I know that his potential for actually planning a wedding is never going to happen. So if it's all on his plate, it won't come to fruition because he is such an in-the-moment person. So you and I are kind of opposites. I don't want to be engaged or publicly planning a wedding, and you decided that you are going to marry yourself. So those are two different perspectives.
I quite like a party. I want a party.
Well, who doesn't like a party, Minnie? Obviously.
With dancing and toasts. But I like toasts. I want people to make toasts about me and him.
And you want also one of those videos, like a great montage video of all the wonderful things that you've ever experienced. And people saying amazing things about how they've never seen two people more in love than the two of you.
Yes. Yes.
I get that.
I want that and dancing and like those big fucking lanterns in trees outside and like a barbecue and long tables. I want that. I've seen it in like a Nancy Meyer fucking movie. That's what I want.
Yeah. Well, good. I'm glad that you're able to visualize your expectations.
I've got a mood board for the wedding I'm never going to have.
I want to ask you about finding your true love after you lost your mom, because I think things like that happen in life all the time when somebody kind of exits our life, someone comes into it. And a lot of times, it for me, I know personally, there's a lot of my mother around with my guy.
You know, they knew each other and they had a really amazing friendship. And she didn't suffer too many of the men that I was with because she took it personally when they broke up with me or if I broke up with them. But she really, really loved Addison. They didn't know each other for long enough. But I do think that there is an exchange, that there is some sort of relay that happens when... I think you're absolutely right. When someone leaves, something else comes in to fill that space. I think you just have to kind of be open and aware. And it's very difficult when you're grieving to allow that in.
Yeah. Have you had any of those experiences yet about your mom? Have you felt her around you? Have you felt like you've gotten little signs of her?
I have. I hear her. I think she co-opts my brain because I heard her say, well, I was having a conversation with her one day, I was missing her so much. And I don't know if these are psychotic breaks or part of the whole process, and I don't really care because I could hear her voice talking to me. And at one point I said, am I making this up or is this you? And she was like, well, you know, of course it's me, but I don't have a brain anymore, so I'm having to use yours. And it was so exactly something that she would have said that I knew her sarcasm was a sign.
Yeah, right.
And then we chatted. And now I chat to her all the time, particularly in nature. I see her. Whenever I think about her, I see a single bird. It's really strange.
Yeah, I do that. I do that too. Whenever I see a single bird, I'm like, hi, mom. Always, yeah.
It's really strange. And maybe that's... I don't really mind where that's created from because it continues to make me feel connected to her. So I don't think it matters. I don't think there needs to be any kind of... No one needs to verify if this is true. It is true for us.
It's just kind of like what you believe in. It works for you. It doesn't have to be proven to be fact or fiction, right? It's like whatever the possibilities are, which means you're open. And as long as you're open, things will come to you. And who cares if they're real or not, you know?
I think it's so funny. We judge so much the way in which everybody else passes life, the way that everybody else synthesizes it, and that this the way that we look for outside verification of what we fundamentally know to be true. And then we don't trust that. And so then that leaks out into the rest of our lives, that we don't trust this basic instinct that we have. about what feels good, what is righteous, what is true for us. That's actually any intention that I have about this new year, is to insist on no outside verification.
Well, it's also funny because so many people, we don't know the answers to so many things, which people pretend are so black and white. Like, no, there's no God, or there's God, or there,
right.
You know, it's like, first of all, nobody right. fucking knows if there's right. a God or not. Nobody has right. any proof of that except for your belief right. system and what you think you've personally experienced. So the idea that you have to have a definitive belief system to begin with is silly. Right? The fact like, oh, they're religious. Like, I have a friend, if anyone's religious, she just regards them because she thinks they're stupid. I'm like, well, okay, that's a little bit much. I mean, I also have a little bit of that, but not, and then people, like, the new thing is, you know, not to say you believe in a God, but there's something. It's like, well, that's a God. You know, I believe in the universe. It's like, well, that's another word for God. Like, we're all saying the same thing, but people have to be so black and white about it as if there's been proof about it. Either way, we don't know what happens when you die, and nobody's ever going to find out until you die. And then it's probably still not going to be the news we're looking for. So why not just create your own reality of what you think is possible?
Yeah, it's weird. Dogma is absolutely shit, as far as I can make out. And it really, I hate that it's got dog in it, because I love dogs. It's absurd, because it's like, if you got everybody to agree with you, it's sort of like, and then what? Like,
yeah.
So everybody agreed. What if everybody agreed on the same thing? We'd find conflict elsewhere. Like, it is hardwired into this human experience, is contrast and conflict. I think yeah. it is part of this human experience, and it's absurd. And the more that one can disengage from needing that or underwriting that, I do find myself stepping away more and more from people who are dogmatic in any kind of belief. Yes. They just put me off my dinner. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I want to eat my steak and peas. I don't eat steak. I don't know why I said steak.
I know,
steak.
I was just about
I want
to
eat
that.
My baked
you know
potatoes.
What? I'm glad you said that.
I don't know
that,
why
I was
I
like,
said
why
that.
Why are you saying that?
I don't eat steak. Like, that...
Steak is out of style, quite frankly. Meat is out of style.
Lots has got to change, Chels. I'm so yeah. glad I'm on the phone with you, because I just... Lots has got to change, and it's got to change now. So fucking help me.
I mean, all of it is so... I mean, wait, back to your... I want to talk a little bit about your siblings and with your mother passing, because I found that to be yeah. such a great comfort, having my brothers and sisters around and experiencing that kind of transitioning, you know, from life to whatever happens after life, you know, like
yeah.
together. And there were moments of hysterical laughter and moments of, you know, unbearable pain. But I feel like without those moments, my brother once said, we were all in the hospice and my mom was on her bed. That's where you go to die, right? And my one brother just still didn't understand what was going on. And we were like, Roy, she's dying. Like, this is where we're taking her to die peacefully. And he's like, but what if she gets better? And we were just like, oh, my God. We can't keep explaining this to you. Like, it's a wrap. Okay? Anyway, so we're all lying in these mats on these, like, cots that they had at this hospice. And I was next to my one brother, and my other brother and sister were across the room, and my other sister was on a chair. And my brother, who's a complete asshole and really sarcastic and thinks he's hysterical, goes, hey, Chelsea, because Shauna and Roy were like lying very close to each other, holding hands. And he goes, how long do you think Roy and Shoshana have been sleeping together? And you just heard my sister across the room groan. She's like, Glenn, honestly, seriously, why would you even bring that into this space? And we were all laughing so hard, and it was such a funny moment because, you know, without those moments, it's just so painful. You need that, and you can only really be that way with the people who knew what it was like to grow up with your parents, right?
Yeah, I mean, there are moments that are starting to happen, but it's so weird. It was 9 months ago. We haven't had enough moments where we've laughed together. We're still gingerly being able to talk about her because, you know, we're still dealing with the probate of her estate and selling her house and all of this stuff. Like, I'm hoping once these things are done, will allow us to kind of commune about her in a way that is, because there were certainly really amazing moments while she was dying. Just like you said, we were sitting around watching her like she was a TV when she was dying. And my aunt said, she was like, God, I always thought that, like, if I was dying, having all these people who weren't dying standing around looking at me would really piss me off. And my mother was like, it does piss me off. And she was like, I am a TV. Turn me off. This is really annoying. And we're still laughing about these moments. I know it'll come. I know it's there. I know it's in escrow waiting for us, being able to laugh about it. But it's astonishing how grief, you're fine, you're fine, you're fine, you're fine, you're fine. And then it just rises up and it fells you. It just literally brings you to your knees. Sometimes when you least expect it, I'm astonished by it. I'm grateful to all the people who have witnessed that happening and not freaked out.
Yeah, that's so common also to be like, I'm doing great. I'm doing great. It's over. I'm through it. And then totally. You're like, no. It's like you don't, that's not how grief works. And we all, and like for some reason, and you know, we believe like, okay, I've gotten through it. Like, why is that important to believe? So it's over. It's in the past. It's like, it's never going to be in the past.
I know.
You know, it's another just like time construct that doesn't make any sense at all. It's emotions. It's heart. It's all those feelings.
Yeah, I've got this birthday coming up and I've been having these existential dreams and feelings whilst awake. How can you have a birthday if the portal through which you came is gone? Like there's something that's been happening about this idea that without my mother there, how do I sort of exist? It's really strange. Like it's an absolute mind bend losing your mother. I experienced grief with my father dying and huge loss, but not this existential stuff about my own mortality and about the impermanence of time.
Yeah.
I mean, the impermanence of everything and the existence, the constant existence of time.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, just think about how old we are now. You know, I was talking to my friend the other day. I'm like, I'm 46. I'm going to be 47 this year. Half my life is over. And she's like, you don't know that. I'm like, oh, please. It's over. Like, come on. Like, with the idea that, you know, you get to this age and you start to go like, oh, it could happen at any time. I could get sick. Anything could happen. Like, and then the idea of like, you have to live every day. It's like it's your last. I don't want to fucking live every day like it's my last. That's exhausting too. You
exactly.
know? Like sometimes I do want to lie in bed and watch TV all day. I don't need to like be out there showing the world what I'm made of. So it's all these thoughts that you think about with your existence and how long you're going to be here for and what else you have left to say or do or what impact you want to leave. You know, with you have a son, so it's even, you know, that's even a bigger
thing. Yeah, but it's all about, it's so interesting because this is my new obsession since mum died, is this idea of like assigned meaning. And meaning and what that is and what a meaningful life is.
Yes,
and the
right.
pressure that we put on ourselves or the pressure that other people put on us of like, what the fuck is that? And how could anyone describe what that meaning is except us, except we who are in it? And if that is lying in bed watching bad TV or good TV in a day, who says that isn't meaningful?
Well, I think pretty much everybody thinks that's not meaningful, but I don't think there's an argument there. But I would argue with like, you know, what's meaningful? Like being a celebrity, being a well-known person, is that supposed to be more valuable? Like obviously as you get older, you realize that how fickle that is, you know, and how silly that
100%.
Is. How silly it is to think that you have more value. I think like, oh, okay, in my best run of thoughts, I would think your value in my estimation would be what kind of impact you're having on every single person you're around, right? How much sunlight are you spreading and joy and happiness to others? Like what's that? Or strength or inspiration, you know, maybe that's the most valuable things, the things that are not measurable, because it's clearly like all over the map, right? You want to have people leaving with like a better feeling for having seen or met you.
I feel like that's the most that you can really, I feel like that really is. Everybody smiles when they remember my mother. Oh. Every single person and the people that have come out of the woodwork going, I sat next to your mother at a dinner in 1985 and I've got to tell you, it was one of the, you know, that is the most and the best that we can hope for. But it's weird how maybe it's now that there is just so much information shared, this idea that if you don't have a private plane and that if you're not earning, you know, you don't have 100 zeros after the amount that you make in your life. I mean, I don't know. Like it's become so disconnected what an idea of a successful life is.
Yeah, right. Well, Hollywood can do that to you. You know, that can make you very disconnected.
Yeah, totally. Maybe that's why I am the way that I am.
a truck, an ex-truck driver is what you are. And that's what you'll
find. Did I tell you when Kate and I, my sister and I, were driving down Sunset Boulevard and we saw this billboard? I always called it my billboard because when Circle of Friends first came out, my friend took me there and he made me stand outside of his rabbit, his VW rabbit. And he was like, close your eyes. Okay, now look. And there was this, I was on a billboard and it was exciting. So anyway, we were driving down Sunset. We see this billboard and Kate looks at, there are three men on it. she went, oh my God, we've slept with 100% of that billboard. I died laughing. I was like, that is connection in Hollywood right there.
I miss your sister. I haven't seen her since COVID, obviously, because I haven't been over to London. But she and I had some really fun nights together when I was over there.
I know she would send you a huge... I got to tell her that I was doing this. She would send you a huge hug.
She's actually on the line eavesdropping, so you can just say hi to her.
What's up, Bates?
So we have callers that call in, and we give them life advice. And we kind of curate the episode to things that you might talk about publicly or have. And we just kind of give them feedback. And people are pretty kind of serious when they call in here. So get ready, sister.
All right.
That's what we're going to do today on Dear Chelsea. You're going to get advice from Minnie Driver, from myself, and from my producer, Catherine.
Hi.
And we're going to give it to you straight.
Yes. But before we do that, we're going to take a quick ad break.
The Toolkit Podcast is where your favorite filmmakers come to talk about their craft and process.
I don't want a sloppy angle in my movie ever.
It's like being a dancer. You find the freedom in the structure.
It's where Tarantino, Gerwig, Scorsese, and Jordan Peele discuss their latest films, and showrunners take us behind the scenes of the best of TV.
Hosted by IndieWire's craft team, Toolkit is an award-winning podcast that gets at the heart of what really matters for filmmakers, like Spike Lee.
It comes back to this storytelling. What can I use in my toolbox?
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it! Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
Hi, everybody. We're back from our break. Okay, I hope that was as gratifying for you as it was for us.
Wonderful. Well, we have some questions, Minnie and Chelsea. And our first one comes from Frustrated Stepmom. She says, Dear Chelsea, I'm 28 and my boyfriend, 29, have been together for 2 years. We moved fast, we were friends when we were younger, and have lived together almost the entire time. He has 2 daughters, age 5 and 3. I'm very involved with them, picking them up from school and taking them there, and I absolutely adore them. The problem is, their mom raises them very differently than me and my boyfriend wish to. I obviously don't want to step on her toes at all, but it's very hard when she refuses to actively potty train them and feeds them McDonald's or whatever. And then they come here and we struggle to get them to eat real food and they've regressed on whatever we're working on. I know you're not a mom, but do you have any advice? P.S. I was an early childhood educator for 5.5 years, so I do know a bit about kids and all I want to do is help them. Sincerely, frustrated stepmom.
Oh, wow. Well, Minnie is a mother. Minnie, would you like to take this first?
Gosh. I mean, I don't envy you. I feel for you. Because you're also very young. And your boyfriend had children very young. And it's so I'm imagining that the co-parent, the mother, is also very young. And when you're young, you don't like anybody telling you anything. All I can say is, because my son, he lives with me, but he goes to his father's and he has a relationship there. And weirdly, all you can really do, trying to get someone to do what you want them to do, is an impossibility. It really is. Unless they want to do it, it's not going to happen. And all you're going to do is frustrate yourself. So it's, you might not want to hear it, but it really is. You maintain, you hold your course in your household and what the rules in your household are and how it runs and what happens there. And you do that gently and kindly with consistency. And I think by creating that environment, the children, while they're being given an alternative experience in another household, hopefully that consistency will bring them back to you. But you can't get her to stop feeding them McDonald's. You can have conversations about it, perhaps with her if she's open to that. But because you can't change what she's doing, you can only carry on doing what you do with love and compassion. And I know it's really annoying when people say that, but it is true. You guys just do you and make it the place that they want to be. Make those the choices that they want to make. Raise them to be kids who can decide what is good for them and to choose, make good choices. That's what you can do. That'll probably feel better.
I think that's great advice. That's their mother. You can't tell her what to do. So you can only set the example for when they're with you. And kids respect rules, even when they don't like it and they rebel against it. It's like it sets you up for success in the long run. So you have your set of rules at your house and she does what she wants at her house. You can't control any of that. So yeah, just give it your best shot and be consistent and do your thing at your house. And you're going to reap the rewards, probably not as soon as you'd like, but eventually everything will come around into the right spot. Yeah, they don't get McDonald's when they're at your house. Sorry. You know, and you don't have to give in to them. You sound like you know what you're doing. So the only thing you just have to do is probably just refrain from thinking that you're going to have an impact on her.
Yeah. Yeah. That's true for everything.
Yeah. I mean, the only way to ever influence anybody anyway is by setting your own example, not by telling them what to do. Nobody listens to that. I mean, maybe some people do, but I haven't met those people yet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, our next question comes from Taylor. Dear Chelsea, first off, I've read all of your books and you're the first person I've been able to relate to after losing my brother. What a shitty thing to relate to someone for. But you're great. Anyways, I'm 25, engaged, living with my fiancé's parents, and starting a business. I've always wanted to own a food truck, which I've been working on opening since I graduated college in May of 2018. I feel like it's been the longest process to get this thing up and running with 1 million speed bumps, financial issues, timeline expectations, truck failures, food service regulations, and of course, COVID. It's still not open and was supposed to be by this past summer, and it's causing me a large amount of anxiety when it comes to other people asking me about it. I think my question is, how do you process the stress of people being so excited for you and your endeavors while also feeling disappointed or like you failed your own expectations? It's to the point where I don't even like going out for fear that someone will ask me, when will the food truck be up and running? It's almost done. I've been saying that for a year now, but it actually is. And at this point, it's not even exciting to me anymore. I think once it's open, I'll feel a ton better, but it's been weighing heavily on me. Taylor.
Hi, Taylor.
Hi, Taylor.
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Good. This is Minnie. She's here today as our special guest.
Hi there.
Hello. Great to talk.
Okay, so you were planning on starting a food truck, right? And it hasn't come to fruition in the time. Is this because of COVID?
Yeah, just COVID, lots of road bumps, but I definitely would give it all to COVID for the most part.
Yeah, well, at least you have a good excuse. So there's that. So
that's first, true.
I would take this as I've done this before in my life, just so you know, like I've talked about something. And then when it didn't come to fruition in time, felt like an idiot because I was no longer interested in talking about it, was sick of everybody asking me questions, and then kind of had lost my, you know, oomph for it. So I have taken it as a lesson for things in the future, first and foremost. You know, sometimes you don't need to advertise everything that's going on until it actually is close to happening. And yes, you're learning that lesson. So what's great about this is it's a huge opportunity for growth and learning because you've done this. You know, it's not a mistake. It's just something that you don't want to do again. So make a note to yourself that you're not going to. And in the interim, when people are asking you questions about it and blah, 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 you can be completely honest. Like, I felt like I just talked about it so much. I'm over it. You know what I mean? There's nothing wrong with being honest. And people always seem to have respect for that kind of integrity when you're talking about something. You don't have to lie or make up excuses. You just have to be direct and say, yeah, it's taken me longer than I thought. I was supposed to start a cannabis company 5 years ago, and it still has not happened. And I just tell people, like, it's been a shit show. Just can't get it off the ground. Like, every time something happens, something else happens, and we can't sign the paperwork, you know? But I'm no longer embarrassed about it because I never was embarrassed about it because I kind of learned that lesson a long time ago. It's like I didn't overly promote something that and it's not my fault. So, you know, you have all of those things on your side. It's like, it sounds like it's a little bit more about ego, you know, which is something that is easily kind of, it's easy to get over.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I have been talking to people, and when people do bring it up lately, I'm like, honestly, I'm just over talking about it. It'll happen eventually. I'm like, but for now, I just don't even want to talk about it. I'll be like, just stay tuned. And if I post about it, it's going to happen. If not.
And what are you doing in the meantime?
Oh, just anything and everything. Like, after I got my degree, I didn't end up getting a job because I thought, you know, the truck would be up and running a lot sooner. COVID hit. So I just have a lot of like little odd jobs right now, but it should be up and running here soon. And yeah, I just don't want to commit to something like a career right now, long term, while I'm working on this. I just want to focus on it and get it going.
Is it close to happening now?
Yeah, but it feels like it's been close for a long time. But I think actually it is close.
Yeah, I think if you start to believe that, and that will have a powerful effect on the outcome as well.
Yeah.
Minnie, do you have any words of wisdom in this situation? I know that you've wanted to open up a food truck for some time now.
You know me and trucks, Chelsea. You have the greatest reason in the world for telling people that the timelines for every single person in this world were shot to shit with COVID. I'm literally looking out at the ocean right now, and I'm looking at like three tankards, which are part of the supply chain, like just hanging around waiting to go into the port of Los Angeles. So you're not alone. And I'm sure that people are a lot more understanding. It's probably the pressure that you put on yourself to go, God, I said this thing was happening, and then there was a global pandemic, and now it's not. It's not happening on the same timeline. Getting rid of the timeline, getting rid of the pressure, and going, I want this thing to happen, and I want it to happen now. If we could just say, I want this thing to happen, and I'm going to keep focusing on how awesome it's going to be when it happens. I'm going to keep working on the details and stay out of the timeline. It's the hardest thing to do, but it sometimes gives you relief to do that. Just trust that there's sometimes a different itinerary than the one that you have.
Exactly. That's good advice. Yeah. Your timelines are all in our, you know, why are we making these time constructs anyway? Just it's going to happen when it's supposed to happen, when it's right, and when it's going to be the most successful. And it's not far off, it sounds. So I think you're on the right
track. Keep remembering that. Just keep thinking that.
I mean, even in the best of times, especially when you're starting a business, you only have so much runway. I mean, I was an entrepreneur once upon a time, and it was like, whether it was financial runway or emotional runway or attention span runway, like you just only have so much. And having COVID have dropped in your lap in the middle of that runway is super frustrating. So like what Chelsea said, being honest and being like, it's super frustrating. We keep running into all these delays and it sucks. But like when it happens, I'm so excited. I think that's the best case scenario.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, good luck to you, and keep us posted to how that goes.
Definitely. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Taylor.
Yeah, good luck.
All right. Bye.
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 I'm glad we were here to help her.
I'm glad we were there to help her as well. Young people, I was remembering being young the other day and how much you just thought that it was an outrage when everything didn't come to you immediately. Because now I just sit around being so grateful if anything actually shows up.
Yeah.
If anything works out.
And when you're young, everything is an emergency.
Everything.
Well, like a few months feels like forever when you're 25. Mm-hmm.
I know it does. And I think it's okay. Young people shouldn't be thinking about what older people, like it's such a different season. It's so weird. I sound like a crone now that I'm actually moving into that particular archetype. But it is true. We're not supposed to be thinking about that when we're young. You're meant to be burning through all of that youth, I guess.
Yeah. It'd be so fun, though, to go back to being a young person with this mindset, you know?
I wish that could happen.
I know. What's that quote? Youth is wasted on the young, which is so trite, but so true. It's trite because it is true. All of those kinds of things. It's like, oh God, yeah, God, if I had this mindset. And then sometimes you meet younger people who have their shit so together. You're like, what's up with you? Where the fuck did you come from?
I know.
That you're so sagacious and smart and know that you already know what many adults don't know yet.
I think my son is like that. I had him read something the other day. I was like, you've got to read this article because, you know, this is like from one of the great modern thinkers had written this piece. And I was like, Henry, you've just got to read this because like, I can't stop thinking about it. And he read it and he was like, yeah, I know, I call bullshit on that. And I was like, do you? And he's like, yeah, it just feels like bullshit to me. It just feels like a whole bunch of words and a whole lot of not doing.
Oh, that's so funny. I love I love you doing his accent. That's really something.
He's very sure. I love it when young people are sure, even in their hubris. I like that it's like, no, this is the way that it's going to be. This is how it is. And that's bullshit. And this is cool.
Yeah. I like self-assuredness in any person. That's always such an attractive quality.
I agree. Absolutely. But there's a complete difference between dogma and being self-assured. It's a self-assured person can be flexible and move with whatever they're presented with because they're just sure of who they are within whatever maelstrom they find themselves in. Maybe it's just my kid.
Well, kids are pretty self-assured these days. They're a little bit smarter than we were. They have a little bit more access to intellectual property and stupid properties. I mean, they also do sit on TikTok
stupid
and
YouTube
video
and TikTok,
games all day.
Exactly.
Fuck. Oh, my God. My sister was here a couple of weeks ago, and we had all gone skiing, and everyone's lying around in the living room. And I look at my sister, who's 55, and she's, like, scrolling, and I could see just by her eyes. I was like, what are you doing? Are you on Instagram? She's like, I'm on TikTok. I'm like, Simone, get off TikTok right now.
Get off the TikTok.
What do we have next, Catherine?
Our next email comes from Miranda.
From Sex and the City?
I mean, I hope so. But she's not on the phone.
I hope not.
Somebody said to me the other day, they go, how did Miranda become so stupid all of a sudden? I'm like,
why is she so dumb? She was so smart.
Exactly. I'm like, yeah, all of a sudden she doesn't know anything about, you know, equality or social injustice. Like, that's a Kristen character trait, not a Miranda.
And what's up with her husband? Why do they do that to him? Why do they do that to him? Why do they make him like an 85-year-old? They made him like my grandpa.
I know.
Like, why do they do that? Like, he's literally like 56 or something. Like, it's absurd.
I know.
They're treating him like he's, what? I can't hear in the goddamn farmer's market. It's like, what are you doing?
That's so true. It's so funny. I haven't been able to access the most recent episodes because I'm in Canada and there's like
one. I think you're all right. I think it's okay.
Yeah, from what I'm hearing, that's exactly right. It's like, what?
Super weird.
It's like a geriatric installment.
Super weird. It's like they're 80 and they're not 80. They're these beautiful, gorgeous people. I don't get it. It's weird. I don't buy it.
It's like they've been in a coma for like the entire time.
It is. It was full. I just said this with my best friend the other day. We were like, it's like they've Rumpelstiltskinned all of them. What is this? Oh my goodness. Uh-huh. Podcast, technology, email, password. Jesus. It's like, where have you been the last 10 years? Like, you were alive. You weren't in a shoebox in New York.
Yeah. The other thing, I mean, tell me if this just like crushes your heart, but they go to what they keep calling a comedy concert. And I'm like,
what? Why is it called a comedy concert?
That's what I'm saying. Like they
like
keep
a stand-up
like,
show? Is that
yes,
what they're
meaning? And they keep being like, we what? Went to their comedy concert. And I'm like, what? Oh, no one has ever said that phrase ever.
Oh, that's my God. Really it's so true because Sarah Ramirez is just, she's doing stand-up, but they call it a comedy concert.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe that's because that's what old people call stand-up. Comedy concerts.
Yes. A concert of comedy.
Yes.
How boring.
Quite weird.
I'm going to change my tour name to Vaccinated and Horny, a comedy concert. A COVID comedy concert.
A COVID comedy concert.
Do you want to get COVID? Come to my show.
Oh my God.
Well, our next email does come from Miranda. Dear Chelsea, my name is Miranda and I'm 27 years
old. Hello there. I'm Ann Thompson, editor at large for IndieWire.
And I'm IndieWire's deputy film editor, Ryan Latanzio.
And we're the co-hosts of IndieWire's weekly Screen Talk podcast.
Join us each week for an in-depth discussion of the latest in film and TV industry news with special guests along the way, including filmmakers and executives.
Hear from us every Friday morning on iHeart platforms or wherever you get your podcasts as IndieWire shares what we've learned from the movie week that was.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today.
Health Aid kombucha.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it on. Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
Sold. My best friend and I have been inseparable since 7th grade. We've been through just about everything together. I was drawn to her big personality and how outspoken she is because I'm the opposite. However, we haven't talked since before Christmas over something very stupid. It was very frustrating because she was home for Christmas and didn't bother to see me, even though I did try to make plans because of the stupid disagreement. I think our friendship no longer serves us. I often get scolded by her or ignored. I've always just put up with how she treats me because I don't want to lose her. Family and friends say that's just how she is because of how easily she can be set off. I think there's an unspoken agreement that we're done. We have never gone this long without speaking, and I don't want to be mean or point out things in her character that I don't like. I'm afraid she'll do that to me if I try to reach out. But does our 15-year friendship deserve a formal breakup? Best, Miranda.
I mean, I've had a lot of friend breakups.
Me too.
Yeah.
And then I got back together with them. Like, it sometimes took a couple years.
I think sometimes you don't need a formal goodbye because then you're leaving it also open-ended for, you know, maybe 6 months or a year down the road for you guys to come together maybe again. And you might care a lot less about the things you care about right now. And that might be true for her as well. You know, it doesn't sound like there was some huge fissure. It sounds like you just have personality types and it's totally acceptable during a friendship or any relationship to kind of go your own ways for a little bit, each of you. And I think that's healthy and you should embrace that. And you can actually examine how different things are without her in your life. You know, if it's a positive impact or a negative impact, you know, if you look at the world a little bit more differently when you don't have her in your life, or the opposite is true. It's a good time for self-examination and friendship examination.
Yeah, definitely. Me and my best friend of like 20 years, we broke up for 4 years. And in that time, she got married and had a baby and got divorced.
Oh God.
And actually, I was the perfect person at the end of this whole thing. I knew her so well to be able to kind of counsel, because I hadn't been in the drama of everything. And when we did come back together, it was like a whole new friendship. It was really interesting.
Oh, wow.
I think it's okay, exactly as you said, to go your separate ways for a while. And then, you know, you can find your way back. You know, I think you often do find your way back.
Did you say you were counseling, you were the perfect person to counsel her?
Yeah.
Or she was the perfect person to counsel you?
Kind of both, but really about her husband and their divorce and being able to look at it in a much more sanguine way from not having been inside that relationship as I would have been if we'd been as joined at the hip as we had been.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's nice when you can come back together, right?
Really nice.
It's a perfect testament to, like, who knows what would have happened to your relationship had you been there with that husband, you know? That could have been damaging upon no repair. Who knows what all the circumstances, the things that were prevented by allowing you guys to separate. I look at things a lot like that, instead of being upset that they're over, being like, this is obviously some sort of gift that I can't see yet, you know? And to take time away from people is always a good thing. And it makes you really appreciate and understand if you are supposed to be friends with that person and be that close with that person.
Yeah. And it's, you know, it's significant breaking up with a friend in terms of you really have an opportunity to look at yourself and go, well, that wasn't a love affair, which can cloud one's judgment. But really, this was like a choice. This is a friendship. What is it in me that is not working in this relationship anymore? Is there stuff that I might need to look at? Like, I think it offers a great opportunity for self-reflection. I think it's win-win. If you're not supposed to be friends with them, you won't. And if you are, then they'll come back, or you'll come back together once you've, you know, had a bit of time apart. I think it's okay.
Yeah, I was talking to my mom the other day, and we were talking about friendships that sort of come and go. And I mentioned, you know, some people come into your life for a while and then they leave, you know. Maybe they're not meant to be for your whole life. And this stuck with me so much, but my mom said most are like that. And yeah, it really sat with me because I was like, that's actually very true. There are so few friendships that we might have for, you know, 10, 20, 30 years. And most of them are just meant to be there for a time.
Yeah, that's a good way to look at things, you know, because it is more unique to have most of your friendships aren't your lifelong friendships. A lot of them are when you do have somebody from high school or from primary school or something, you know, that's people are always like, oh, really? You're still in touch with them? You know, my sister has a good group of girlfriends from college. I make friends every year. I make a new friend. You know, I'm always making new friends. So I have so many good girlfriends that are even recent friends for the last 5 or 6 years, ever since I started skiing, you know. So I don't think there's one prescription for any of that. And you shouldn't ever hold yourself to anything like that, because it's demanding and people need to grow and evolve.
Yeah.
So there's that. There's that problem solved for you, I hope.
Keep us posted and let us know what happens with your girlfriend and if you guys, you know, how you handle it.
Okay, great. Dear Chelsea, this is from Yvonne. I've read and enjoyed some of Chelsea's books, and I've been astounded with her strength to be exposed. I've written a book manuscript and have just started to send it out to literary agents. See, I've always been a writer. I'm astounded when I read stuff I wrote in high school or college because my ideas were so misinformed. I recognize that I wrote what I thought was true at the time, but I'm on a continuous path of growth and my opinions have evolved. How do you have the conviction to publish anything with the knowledge that you are also an evolving person? Sincerely, Yvonne.
God, well, actually, Minnie has a new book coming out in May, so I think she can speak to this,
Yvonne,
as well.
Yeah, thanks for that, because that's what keeps me up at night. That's what I wake up sweating in the middle of the night going, why am I putting this out here? Why am I doing this? Listen, I did realize the other day that no book is ever finished. You know, you might put the final period, but it's not finished ever. You just have to stop writing at some point. If you're a writer, you put stuff out into the world. If you create content, if you are an artist, whatever word you want to call it, you create stuff and you put it out into the world. And that's just how it is. And I think, yes, you evolve and your ideas evolve, but, you know, as long as they're not deeply problematic, I think that's okay. I think one can look at stuff and go, you know what? I might not want to talk about that time I killed a horse. Like, you know, it's like you can write from the vantage point of where you are and stand in that truth and go, this might change. So then write another book about how it's changed. But you can't not write because you're scared that time is going to move on and it might make your stuff look old. I mean, you know, I don't think Dostoevsky's turning in his grave or any dead author. So yeah. Carry on.
And I think also writing something is being very much in the moment. You know, you're writing what your experience is up to right now. You're being reflective in this moment. You know, it's not about the future. It's about now. So that's what one of the most freeing things I think about publishing a book is like, okay, I just put all of that out there. That's gone now. Now, the next project is going to be stuff that hasn't happened yet or stuff that I haven't contemplated yet. You know, I may revisit old things, but it's like, it's kind of putting your stamp on a period of time. So I like to look at it that way. Like, here's my experience. I've documented it. It's out there. Don't challenge me on this because I've already expressed it. So it's out, you know, I already said this and I can always refer to it. So there's a lot of advantages to putting your stuff out there. There's a lot of, you know, advantages personally, professionally. Obviously, if you want to be a writer, you want to be published. You know, that's one of the goals of being a writer. Not everybody's goal, but, you know, many writers. Yeah, there's a huge advantage to documenting your experience here.
I agree.
And there you have it. There you go. And there you have it.
Well, we'll take a quick break and we'll be back with Minnie Driver.
Minnie and I just took a bath together and we are on the Sea to Sky Highway, actually, because it's raining. So we just had to.
The Toolkit Podcast is where your favorite filmmakers come to talk about their craft and process.
I don't want a sloppy angle in my movie ever.
It's like being a dancer. You find the freedom in the structure.
It's where Tarantino, Gerwig, Scorsese, and Jordan Peele discuss their latest films, and showrunners take us behind the scenes of the best of TV.
Hosted by IndieWire's craft team, Toolkit is an award-winning podcast that gets at the heart of what really matters for filmmakers, like Spike Lee.
It comes back to this storytelling. What can I use in my toolbox?
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or a ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today.
Health Aid kombucha.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like Eco Eye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it! Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
To stand outside nude. We love to do that together as well.
Love it, love it, love it.
Anyway, we're back from the break.
Wonderful. Well, Minnie, was there any advice that you'd like to ask for from Chelsea?
Oh, Chelsea, yes.
Is it going to be marital advice?
No, it's not. How do you regroup when you've been professionally punched in the face?
Ooh, that's a good question.
Because I've just been professionally punched in the face, and I really would love to know what you do.
Well, that's ego. Mm. And so you have to understand that that's ego, right? And then you have to sit there and do the inside work of understanding that your value isn't contingent upon outside success, even though your career is, and you know your public persona is, to a degree. It's not the whole sum of your parts. It's a part of your parts. So everyone, anytime I get punched in the face, I look at it immediately like, oh my God, this is a huge learning opportunity. Huge, huge, mm-hmm. huge, huge. Because your reaction is your strength of character, right? Mm-hmm. Because all of our reactions are like, it's a gut punch, it's a gut punch. But after you get past that, mm-hmm. there are so many options to operate out of strength, out of character, and to understand that this is a tiny little thing in the impermanence of everything, not the biggest thing in a litany of things, a small, small thing. And we've all been through it before. So it's not a new thing. It's part of the process. And it's not something that you should sit too long in your shit for. Personally, in my opinion, I would say that then you really are like, you know, if you allow that sinking feeling to take over, that's all your ego. Because you can easily pick yourself up from that. You just give yourself a couple, you know, a shorter period of time. And then you're like, that's enough. I'm not going to cry in my own milk anymore. Like, that's a wrap on that. And then the next time it happens, you have an even stronger reaction. And, you know, we've all been through it. So I don't know if that helps, but I know that.
Yeah, it really does. I mean, it really is just the notion of like, what is the opportunity? I'm wildly vengeful in a really, really like awful way. Like, I want vengeance so badly. And yet there's no elegant way to get vengeance in this situation. But to see it, to actually be less interested in what happened and more interested in how you can process it to become stronger on the other side of it is really, really good advice. Because it's the judo move, right? It's take the stuff, you take the energy that's thrown at you and you actually use it, and you use it for your own good.
Yeah, because then nobody remembers even the falls. They just remember you getting back up, like Thor. And you're like, I don't think so, buddy. That's not my story.
Yup. Yeah. And I mean, my mother would say that them swilling around in their own revolting behavior is really payment enough.
Yeah. You can't spend time on thinking what you want to happen to other people. That's a bad use of your time. And then you're sending out bad vibes. I know it's like, you know, listen, we all do it. We have to, because it's part of our psychology. But
I think you give yourself an afternoon to do it, and then you go, that's it. You can sit around thinking about them slipping on the ice, and then that's it.
Yeah, exactly. And then eventually, you know, you don't care about those people or what happens to them.
Exactly. Thank you. I feel better.
Well, that's what this is for. That's what we're all about here, Minnie. So I'm so glad you were able to join us today.
I really am very glad. It's why I came on, so you'd answer my, I could get my question in before all the other people.
You could have just called in like a regular caller.
I could have just texted you.
Thank you, Minnie. I love you so much.
I love you so much. Thank you so much. Such a great show.
I can't wait to see you again. And I love doing your podcast too, by the way, you guys. Mini Questions with Minnie Driver. I did an episode which I enjoyed thoroughly, and it's a great podcast. She asks everybody the same 7 questions.
I do. Thanks, Charles.
You're welcome, honey. I will speak to you soon.
Loads of love.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye, Catherine.
Bye.
See you.
Oh, hey, Chelsea, let's not forget show dates.
Okay, yes, I have some stand-up dates coming up. I am going to be in Seattle February 2nd and 3rd. I'm going to be in Portland, Oregon, February 4th. 2 shows. There are tickets available for the second show. Then I'll be in Eugene, Oregon on February 5th. We added second shows to Kansas City, to Winnipeg, to Toronto, to Huntington, New York, to Port Chester, New York, to Montclair, New Jersey. And I'm also coming to Louisville, Kentucky. So please mark that down. Oh, and we added a second show in Los Angeles and a second show in Santa Rosa. Louisville, Kentucky, if you want me to come back, then we need to sell out tickets. So buy them. I think that's all I have to say for today. Oh, and I'm coming to Hawaii, July 1st and 3rd, Honolulu. And then I'm coming to Maui. Yay.
Amazing. Yay. Do you have a question you want to ask Chelsea? To get some advice, write into DearChelseaProject@gmail.com.
Hi everyone, Chelsea here. We should be talking much more about women's hair loss. There are many reasons that hair loss can happen in women, from a number of medical conditions like anemia all the way to transitions like pregnancy or menopause. And that's where Zion Health comes in. They are hair loss experts who make getting treatment easy and accessible with both medicated and non-medicated options available. Go to xyonhealth.com to get started. Good sleep should come naturally, and with the new Natural Hybrid mattress, it can. A collaboration between Lisa and West Elm, the Natural Hybrid is expertly crafted from natural latex, natural wool, and certified safe foams to elevate your sleep sanctuary and support a greener tomorrow. Plus, every purchase helps fuel Lisa's work with shelters and those in need. Visit lisa.com/Chelsea to learn more. That's LEESA.com/Chelsea. Hey, LA-bound thrill seekers, it's Chelsea Handler, your fearless guide to the City of Angels. Brace yourselves for a wild ride exploring the diverse food scene, from taco trucks to Michelin stars like Pizzana or Leo's Tacos. Seeking serenity? Immerse yourself in soul-soothing moments with captivating sunsets at Griffith Observatory, rooftop yoga, and a stroll through the Getty Gardens. Your soul will thank you for this enchanting escape. Buckle up for the LA roller coaster and embark on the adventure at discoverla.com. Chelsea Handler signing off, urging you to savor every moment. XO, Jackie, protein powders and products support women in all stages of menopause and beyond. Formulated to keep bones and muscle strong, XO Jackie's whole food vegan organic products also help reduce common menopausal symptoms like bloating, weight gain, hot flashes, joint pain, loss of libido, and more. I love that I can just scoop and mix to get some extra protein or an energy boost throughout the day. And I'm trying to keep my bones and my muscles strong, and this helps me get there. Enjoy 20% off with promo code Chelsea at xojackie.com. That's xojacqui.com.
The Toolkit Podcast is where your favorite filmmakers come to talk about their craft and process.
I don't want a sloppy angle in my movie ever.
It's like being a dancer. You find the freedom in the structure.
It's where Tarantino, Gerwig, Scorsese, and Jordan Peele discuss their latest films, and showrunners take us behind the scenes of the best of TV.
Hosted by IndieWire's craft team, Toolkit is an award-winning podcast that gets at the heart of what really matters for filmmakers, like Spike Lee.
It comes back to this storytelling. What can I use in my toolbox